Hebrews chapter 9, I draw your attention just to one verse, our text around this table, as we meet the Lord Jesus around this table. The verse 26, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So this is especially the last part of the verse. "Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." The reference here, of course, is to the Lord Jesus. He is the prominent one in the epistle to the Hebrews. He's the one greater than Moses, the one greater than angels, the one greater than Aaron. He's the great prophet, the great priest, and the great king. And he is referred to here as one who has appeared. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared. And that's very true. The Lord came into the world. The apostles very often used that expression. John uses it, his manifestation, his appearing. He came in visible form and he dwelt amongst men. How did he come? Well, we know how he came. He came in the incarnation. He came by being conceived by the power of the Spirit in the womb of the Virgin. "A body hast thou prepared me." And the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, took to himself a human nature. He has two natures, the divine nature and the human nature. And in the one person of the Son of God, he appeared among us as a man. And so that's how he did it. Born in Bethlehem, lived among us for 30 plus years, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and eventually dying, as we know, on the cross. Not an ordinary death, but a sacrificial death, as we see, for us sinners. That's how he appeared. But the text also refers to when he appeared. Now, it's not a date's not given. There's division and controversy about the particular date and even the time of year in which the Lord Jesus Christ was born. But in the dispensation of the ages, the apostle gives us a kind of a guideline. And he says, "Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared." So we know that was 2,000 years ago. The world is thousands of years old. And we're in the last time now. We're in the last really of the age of the ages, and he's appeared at the end of the world. Even though it's run on for 2,000 years, we don't know how long further it'll go on, but it's the last age. These are the last days, and he appeared at the end of the ages when the fullness of time has come and the long process of thousands of years passed. He appeared at the end. The end time. So this is really the end time. We're in the last days now. The Bible talks about that when it says the end of the world is when he appeared. The apostle is also quick to highlight how often he appeared. Once. You see, that's why he's referring to the priestly office. There had to be another appearance of another priest. But Christ only had to appear once. He's going to appear again, we know, a second coming, and that'll be to bring the world to the end. That's the total last day of the end of the world, and it's all over then. But this appearing as the incarnate one was just once. Once was sufficient. Once was enough. He doesn't have to come back again and again. It wasn't done right the first time, and so he has to come back again and do it right the next time. It's not a case of that. Paul is emphasizing it was once. Once was sufficient and once was enough. And he, in this epistle, the apostle does that quite a bit. This once only. But then we're also told what he did when he appeared. Now we know he did many things, but what was the great work for which he really appeared most of all to do, and which is the most prominent thing about his life? It tells us in the text, "Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." That's the great work. That's what he appeared to do. To sacrifice. That makes him a priest. And the apostle has been bringing that out. He's a priest. And he has a sacrifice. But those priests, they had other sacrifices, didn't they? They had lambs and goats, whatever. But this priest, he has appeared to make sacrifice of himself. That's what the Calvary is about. It's this priest appearing to sacrifice himself. He's a priest on the cross. He's not just a priest in glory. He's actually a priest on the cross. And the death of Christ is a sacrificial death. We know that. We're trusting in the blood. Sacrificial blood, atoning blood. It's the sacrifice of Calvary. That's what he did. But we're also told why he did it. Now, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. See, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. And Christ has appeared to take away sin. And he did it by the sacrifice of himself. And you know, that's the marvellous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Because we're here as sinners. And we need our sins taken away. And the only one who takes them away is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one else. There's no other priest. And the good news is he has done that by the sacrifice of himself. That's our hope. And we sit here with comfort and with joy. Yes, we mourn our sins. We regret that we're sinners. We would wish that it were never so, that we were always righteous. But Christ has taken away our sins. Now, that's a mystery. You know, we know our sins and we bear them, and they, as it were, they identify with us, and yet the Lord Jesus can come and take them and somehow identify with them and take them away. It's a mystery. The work of Calvary is a mystery. It can't be explained. But it's believed. It's trusted in. He died for our sins. We believe it. It's our hope. We rest in our Savior for the removal of our sins. And the taking away of our sins is what he came to do. Remember how John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world, Jews and Gentiles." That's what he did. Remember how David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And David said unto Nathan, "The Lord hath put away thy sin." That's a wonderful thing for Jesus to take away our sins. Remember how on another occasion David's heart smote him. He numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, "I've sinned greatly that I've done this. And now I beseech you, Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant." Just take it away, Lord. I did wrong. I sinned. I shouldn't have done that. Numbering of the people. Take it away. Take it away. And Christ has appeared to take away sin. Isn't that wonderful? And we come here with comfort and assurance. We ought to. We ought to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is a sacrifice. Is a sweet-smelling savour to God. He's taken away our sins. Black as they were, as vile as they were, in the marvel of his love and of his grace and of Calvary, he's taken them away. And they never rise up again. The devil may accuse us, but Jesus has taken them away. Taken them away. So be at peace, child of God, and rest in your Redeemer. And this feast that you take, it is to comfort your hearts and to assure your souls. It's a comforting feast to bring you the comfort and assurance of the gospel. So let us praise him for his grace.